This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and maybe even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Seasons change. Why not your tech? Upgrade now during the Dell Technologies Summer Sale event and save on select PCs like the XPS 16 powered by Intel Core processors. You'll be able to bring your most intensive projects to life with built-in AI, minimalistic design, immersive visuals, and cinematic audio. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to exceptional tech and electronics, plus free shipping on everything. Amazing prices await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I just don't know, man. The fact that I didn't have the Bengals on my top 10 in first week of June.
Fourth in Super Bowl odds.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Rich's power rankings. This last one, though, was poppycock.
Oh.
By not having the Bengals.
The Rich Eisen Show.
In the top 10.
Today's guests. Vikings head coach, Kevin O'Connell. USA Today columnist, Christine Brennan. USA Today columnist, Christine Brennan. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
Yes. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. People already calling in. We love it. That's the way we roll into another work week right here on the program, on the Roku channel. This Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. We're particularly excited for an in-studio guest. We're having an hour number three. If you had told me back in the day that I would have a show with my name on it. If you told me in 1984 that I would have a show with my name on it, I'd be like, that's incredible. My goodness gracious. And that I would have a guest from 16 Candles, I'd be like, is Molly Ringwald coming to the show? Because Anthony Michael Hall is on this program. And we're going to go down memory lane and also talk about his new film, Trigger Warning, which is on Netflix next week. And he's also, by the way, been cast in the third season of Reacher. It's a lot to talk about with Anthony Michael Hall in hour number three on this program. Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, going to join us in just 20 minutes time to kick things off. And Christine Brennan of USA Today will be on this program in hour number two. So much to talk about. As I mentioned, again, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Chris Brockman, halfway home, sir. How are you? How are you?
I'm great.
Yes, you are. Jay Felly, good to see you.
Hey,
how are you?
What's up, Rich? I'm great.
Is Del Tufo halfway home from St. Louis?
I have no idea.
Oh, very good. TJ Jefferson, the candle is lit. Good to see you over there, sir.
Candle is lit. I, too, am very excited about Anthony Michael Hall being here. So much that I had to bring two movie posters.
What do you have?
Two of my favorite movies.
Okay.
16 Candles and Weird Science.
Both may be part of the subject of the first celebrity true or false that we're going to be doing in quite some time. I think the last time we did it was with Dennis Quaid about 6 weeks ago. So good times later on.
Love it.
And I imagine you're going to ask him to make those a little bit more valuable than they currently already look.
I would love the opportunity.
And as you know, it's all good. Huh?
When you said that's incredible, were you thinking that you'd be on the show with Kathy Lee Crosby and John Davidson?
No, that's look incredible. At you dropping that. That's an old Fran Tarkenton is probably a little bit more certainly since the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings is coming up shortly.
Yes.
Just to weave it all together for our audience. That's incredible. Good job, man. Again, as we mentioned, give us a call today, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll have more than enough time to talk about it. Chris Brockman, again, as I mentioned, halfway home, the Boston Celtics taking care of business last night.
Yes.
Luka Doncic showing up as questionable on the injury report prior to game two.
And then he shows up, you know, walking like Fred G. Sanford, you know. I mean, he was literally seemingly, you know, like hunched over, limping his way to the locker room.
And it didn't matter. He was making everything in the first half.
You were saying you would eat Del Tufo's shorts if he did not play, and I'm glad that you're not eating Del Tufo's shorts today.
It wasn't worth it, Chris. You should.
That's how short he was.
0.0 chance.
Guy triple-doubled. He triple-doubled, by the way. If I told you prior to game two, Luka's going to hit a triple-double, and you're only going to be up by three at the half.
And the Celtics would shoot 25% from three, we'd probably lose that game.
Right. But this is just a different Celtics team, man.
Yeah, man.
And part of the reason why it's a different Celtics team is because of who's been added. Okay. I mean, Kristaps Porzingis coming off the bench. He had 12 points. This just in, he was plus 12 last night, which is the best plus minus of anybody on the Celtics last night. And we all know what he can do. And he's not even at full strength. He's got that like full leg compression stocking on, and a couple times you're seeing him landing poorly on that right leg, and you're wondering, he went to the locker room at one point in game two. But it's Jrue Holiday, and I know that was the thing in Boston Celtic land about, you know, sending Marcus Smart away and then bringing in Jrue Holiday. And it would be quite something that the Celtics win the NBA championship with this guy being MVP, by the way. He's halfway home on that front after last night's double-double, 26 points, 11 rebounds. Doesn't matter that he's not distributing when Jason Tatum comes up with a dozen assists, you know. But it would be quite something if the Celtics win the championship with Jrue Holiday being the MVP because Giannis wanted somebody significant to play with in Milwaukee.
Right.
And that trade for Lillard is what sent Holiday packing, and the Celtics were like, we'll take him. And they made that trade of Marcus Smart, one of the, I don't not speak for you, but would you say one of the most popular Celtics of the last decade plus?
Without question. Right? One of my favorite players since the 08 team was Marcus Smart. The heart and soul of the team for
defensive
many years.
Player of the year candidate.
Defensive player of the year. The ultimate yes guy on offense. And he deserved to be part of a championship team. We just kind of maxed out with him. And a definite change was needed. And credit to Brad Stevens, executive of the year this year. And he pushed all the right buttons and made all the right moves. And we're halfway home to Banner 18.
And, you know, and the Celtics, like I said, they don't need Tatum to put the team on his shoulders and win it all because of everything else is clicking. It's all working. Derek White, once again.
Derek Havlicek?
Honestly.
Derek Jordan?
They make a run. The Mavericks make a run late in the game. They got it down at 7 at one point. White takes one from like 32 feet and sticks it.
Yeah, the shot clock deep. Gets the great block, the great defensive play near the end of the game to kind of seal it. Guy does it all.
He does it all, and Jaylen Brown does it all. And they've even overcome the mind game that Jason Kidd tried to play by saying Jaylen Brown is their best player over there. And then, of course, Jason Tatum, did you hear what Jason Kidd had to say? And then,
what a desperation move.
Hey, by the way,
you do that.
Criticize him for trying that.
You do that after game four. Him doing it after game one, he knew that they're so behind the eight ball.
Of course, you've got to feel that right now. And then, of course, that leads to Jrue Holiday being after. I think this is our friend McMenamin who asked this question of Jrue Holiday and what he would categorize himself now that he's potentially the MVP, halfway home to being the MVP of the NBA Finals. Hit it.
If Jalen and Jason are the superstars on this team, what's your role? And if you're going to be the team's leading scorer, leading rebounder, and shoot the highest percentage in game two of the finals, why aren't you a superstar as well?
I'm a utility guy. I'll do whatever. I'm here to win. I feel like they brought me here to win. And I'll do my best to do that. But at the end of the day, this is their team. And I know it's probably just as much as my team as theirs. But again, I feel like I've talked about this before. The pressure that they have on themselves to execute and to be great is a little bit different than my pressure. And again, I've always been honest about that. And how they always handle themselves has been something that's been so honorable. So it's slightly different. They're superstars, and I'm here to support.
I mean, him and Brown and Tatum and White and what this team is and what it's becoming. The only thing wrong with it is from Boston. Other than that, you know.
I agree with you.
No, but you have every reason to just be over the friggin' moon.
It's great.
Over
I
there,
love
bro.
That answer from Drew. I mean, this is a guy who's won a championship. Giannis didn't want him anymore. And you talk about that quote right there.
You think he didn't want him anymore? You would say that?
He wanted the shiny thing. He wanted the Dame Lillard. He wanted that shiny, this guy can score 50 at any point.
Hold on a second. I'll push back a little bit.
Forgetting that he had been hurt the last few years and not been able to finish a season and maybe a little past his prime.
Listen, Jrue Holiday is a perfect component for this organism that the Celtics have built.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
He is absolutely an upgrade over Marcus Smart. My apologies to him. There's no question about that.
Without question.
Okay,
yeah.
And so when you have the ability of having an owner or governor or ownership that is saying, we will pay an insane amount of luxury tax to make sure Jaylen Brown is the super maxiest player, knowing that Jason Tatum behind him will be the super maxiest player. And let's go get Kristaps Porzingis on top of it. And then we'll trade for Derek White in a trade that nobody paid attention to and see him grow into Steph Curry meets Robert Horry meets who did you say earlier before? Okay.
He's playing like Jordan.
Exactly.
Like,
he's going to play. He's going to be a two-way threat. Yeah. Let's do that. Al Horford will be 90 years old and still play like he's 9. Fine. That's great.
And they went and paid Drew. They gave him like a $30 billion a year contract.
But I guess we're getting onto this right now. Yeah. Giannis definitely had to look around and say, our big three that we have here of me and Middleton and Jrue Holiday needs an upgrade. And I want Lillard. And do you think if he went to, did he think that, let's send Holiday away for Lillard? You'd have to think that that would have to happen, clearly. But you don't think that he would. You think that that is
what a
is something
what
that
a championship
would be,
with this guy, and the Celtics get Porzingis, and he's like,
man,
we need to get better with a guy you won a title with. Why? Because Jimmy Butler cooked him in round one last year. Jimmy Butler cooked everybody last year. So
I will just say this.
Giannis kind of overreacted.
Let me just say this, and I'm sorry in advance, TJ.
How am I getting dragged into
it? Here's how you're getting dragged into it. Because as you know, on this program, I don't just opinionate. I weave tapestries.
I'm a dream weaver.
Okay? I take a string from this show and a string from other shows, and I weave it together and place it in the Louvre called The Rich Eisen Show.
It's like you're knitting scarves.
Thank you. But what the Celtics saw and what the Celtics had was a team worthy of winning the championship a couple years ago.
Yeah, up 2-1 in the
last
finals.
Year as well. Couldn't get over the top under the current construct.
Tatum got hurt 40 seconds into game 7 last year.
But they didn't get it done, correct? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. And you had to look at the landscape, certainly with what the Nuggets just did and what the other teams in the West are doing, being young and getting stronger.
Loaded.
And then you see in the East, what did they do? Did they say they're going all in and then do nothing and say everybody's got to come back and win in order to stay here in Boston? Or did they go and get Porzingis and Jrue Holiday and say we're going to remake a little bit, not a little bit, but remake significantly with bold-faced names surrounding a team that is already the core of a championship? Are we going to do that? Or are we going to just say we're going all in and just say we're going back because this roster, we believe in it. We've drafted it. We believe in it. This is, I think, an allegory for what I thought the Cowboys were going to do, which is go get themselves the football version of Porzingis and the football version of Jrue Holiday and weave it together and improve a team that had the core and also the roots and branches of a championship team and nurture it. And I'm telling, I'm telling by the, I guess, by the silence here that you guys think I'm kind of right here. No, the Celtics did what I think the Cowboys should do. And look at them being two games from the championship.
First of all, the Celtics were better than the Cowboys. Much better.
The Cowboys were the two seed in the NFC last year, TJ. There was one team they couldn't get past, and we were all wondering if they got a chance at them again, would they be able to do it? And they couldn't get past the Green Bay Packers, who are kind of what? Like the Oklahoma City Thunder of the NFC? Youngsters who are ahead of their time? You know? I don't know. Does that make Jordan Love the Shai Gilgeous?
Nice.
I don't know. I'm just pointing out, potentially prematurely, maybe Luka, you know, Luka, despite his triple-double, gets healthier.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Michael Finley should give him his beer back.
Either way, winless since the beer taking.
Okay. So we'll blame it on Finley. But I don't know.
Yeah, premature.
This may be premature, but I'm just saying there's a reason why Bob Myers went on the postgame show last night on ESPN and said Brad Stevens was the MVP of this finals. I understand his point, although I'm sure everybody out there looking to get some insight on which player he really thought he was avoiding the point while talking about the level of importance of his profession. But they went and made some moves that has them halfway home right now.
Mm-hmm.
And also took the pressure off of their Dak, who's Jason Tatum. Is there a similar conversation about Tatum, about Dak? It's like, you know, he's great. We know he's the guy. He's terrific. I think Tatum is already considered more of a generationally great player than Dak. But still, what has he done? What had he won in terms of championships in a place where championships is all that matters?
It's kind of counted. He's come up short in the playoffs.
I'm not saying they're exactly similar. I'm just cutting around the edges here of a similar conversation between the Celtics and the Cowboys. And roster building, and what you do to take the pressure off your stars in crucibles like the NBA Finals or the NFC playoffs. I just came up with that. I'm proud of myself.
Oh, boy. I'm going to start calling you Reed Richards, because Mr. Fantastic, that's a little bit of a stretch.
Nice.
There, but
look at you.
This guy. Okay, be careful. You're making noises like Del Tufo over there. Let's take a break. Kevin O'Connell is here. Obviously, Caitlin Clark not going to Paris is a conversation we will be having shortly on this program. Christine Brennan of USA Today will help us on that story. And then Anthony Michael Hall in studio hour number 3. Let's take a break. Kevin O'Connell next right here talking Minnesota Vikings football and the JJs when we come back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, let's talk about them. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. We all know when something goes wrong with your car and you need maintenance and you need it fast and you need to make sure it's done right. That's when you turn to O'Reilly Auto Parts. Friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. And the team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto. Do it yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. Or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Okay, in this day and age, as you know, we in the sports world, sports media, sports conversation world, we don't like being bored. We want to know the answer immediately to our questions. And Dan Hurley making us wait for 72 hours after the Woj bomb about whether he's taking the job with the Lakers.
Yeah, what are we doing?
We're looking for any piece of information, and believe it or not, it came from Luke Murray, Bill Murray's son, and his assistant, the assistant in UConn, his Instagram account, taking a shot of Dan Hurley and his wife enjoying the Billy Joel concert in Madison Square Garden. And this is a photograph somebody took from across the way. There he is, right there in the middle, wearing a New York, what looks like a New York shirt on, something like that.
We sure that's him?
Oh, that's him. You could take a look at the Instagram video of.
Yeah, there was one later on where somebody was interviewing him.
All right, and he's dancing, so that means what?
That means he's staying.
Why? Because he's going to a concert?
Why would he fly back to New York?
Oh, you think he'd stay here and look for a house if he's taking the job?
Why wouldn't you spend the weekend in L.A. and go house hunting?
I don't know, maybe he's still undecided and he had these tickets.
You know what I mean?
What, I mean, if you see the video of him dancing, does that, if he's dancing to Allentown, does that mean he's going to be the Sixers' next head coach?
Yes.
Huh? You know what I mean?
Good detective work.
By the way, though, like,
if he likes Piano Man, that means he's now suddenly going to start
Brooklyn coach.
If he already had the tickets, though, guys, he's still going to go to the concert.
Of course he is.
Pop him on Game Time. Resell those babies.
You just tell Genie Buss's assistant or whomever the PJ needs to return to Teterboro by a certain amount of time and send a car and drop his wife off at Madison Square Garden and keep the car waiting.
We didn't start the fire comes on. Next Heat coach.
Yeah, man. Like he's just, soon you're going to hit Google to just check out what Billy Joel songs are.
That was Hoskins.
Well done. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network and sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. We're waiting to hear about Dan Hurley potentially becoming the next head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. Apparently he's meeting with the team today, or they're having a practice today up in Stores, Connecticut. So we'll keep an eye on all of that while we chat with one of our friends back here on the Rich Eisen Show. The head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, Kevin O'Connell, is back at the program. How you doing, Coach?
Good to see you guys. Appreciate you having me on.
You bet. So where are we? We got one more week left. OTAs. Is that what we got going on right now?
Yeah, one more. We'll have three or four good days of work this week, and then give these guys a much needed break. We've had a really good off season, Rich. You know, really, almost 100% attendance across the board. Got Justin's deal done. Got him back with the guys this past week, and really starts to feel like we can envision kind of what the team's going to really look like. And really excited about this team. Excited about our roster that Kwesi and his staff have put together. And our job is to make sure we coach them up and make sure in all three phases we're ready to go play winning football.
Let's talk about Justin's deal. Listen, I'm not telling any tales out of school. Head coach is usually a bunch of control freaks, and you're a head coach, and you can't control that. That is the ultimate uncontrollable, is what's going on between front office and player of generational talent for a contract. So where were you when you heard it finally got done, Kevin?
You know, I was actually sitting at this very desk and knew it was close. Knew we were, when the deals like that tend to get announced and all those things. We were working our way towards the finish line earlier the previous week, and really had a good feeling that it would get done and we would have Justin for mini camp. And once it started to look like that, I was smiling ear to ear, man. Just love having him around our team and our building. Meant what I said, the day we officially got it done. But he really is a building changer. He's a culture changer, and he happens to be the best player at his position in football, and just somebody who means the absolute world to me. Happy for Justin and his family. So well deserved. And gives me great joy to know he's going to be a Viking at least for the next 5 years.
No doubt. A lot longer than that. No doubt. Who told you? Did somebody walk in the room? Like, do you want to reenact it? I don't know if you're an actor, Kevin. I mean, like, what happened in that chair?
Yeah, Kwesi, our GM, and Rob Brzezinski, who was heavily involved. He handles our contracts and does a great job with our salary cap. They kind of walked in together with smiles on their faces.
Nice.
And I knew, and then I immediately started, texting any memes and GIFs I could find on my phone to Justin to let him know the excitement. That's how you communicate with these guys nowadays.
So what'd you use?
Text a heartfelt, message. He's going to read about four words of it and move on to the next. But he can visually see, I may or may not have picked the old Microsoft, Bill Gates and company dancing on the stage.
Good one, Ballmer.
Yeah. It's an old reliable for somebody who doesn't dance particularly well myself.
I was about to reenact that, and then I realized it would not look good for me, so I'm not going to do that dance. My God, might have been an overbite involved, but that's funny. That is funny, and obviously to the point of how good he is. Certainly when you have a young quarterback on your roster who's going to eventually take over the reins of your franchise, and you knew I'd eventually bring this conversation to my guy, the, if you will, other JJ that you have, and JJ McCarthy. I noticed he wasn't taking any first team snaps. What are you executing for your plan with him right now?
Yeah, he's had a great spring. He's off to a really good start, transitioning into a new offense, bunch of new teammates, new players. He gets a ton of work throughout, routes on air and even in 7-on-7, where we were going full speed on all that stuff with some of the first group throughout the spring. So JJ's gotten a good acclimation to what our offense is really all about. He's starting to show some ownership of it and growing every single day. It'll be a big week for him this week, getting a few more reps before we set him off into the summer before arriving back here for a big training camp for our whole team and certainly for JJ as he continues his development. But Rich, I can just tell you, everything so far we had hoped to get out of JJ from the spring, confirming a lot of the things we thought about him throughout the pre-draft process. He's done all those things and then some. He's been wearing us out at the facilities, working his tail off, and I think he's going to be in a great spot to continue his growth and development, on a really good timeline. Sam Darnold's also had a really good spring getting acclimated to our offense. So where we're at as a team right now, we feel really fortunate to have the talented group around that quarterback position, both at the skill players with Justin and Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson coming back, and adding Aaron Jones was huge for us to pair with Ty Chandler. And then I think our offensive line has really been solidified. Obviously with the two tackles we have, we bring back Dalton Risner, who's going to compete like crazy at the guard spot with both Ed and Blake Brendel. And then Garrett Bradbury's been Mr. Reliable for us, in the middle. And anytime you're transitioning at the quarterback position to have a veteran center to really kind of drive that communication and make sure we're all on the same page, it's a good setup. I know I wish I could have stepped in and got to play with the other 10 guys that our quarterbacks get to, and I think they feel the same way.
Come on, I mean, wasn't Brady there when you got there, Kevin?
Yeah, let's not get into details, Rich. That's not important today.
That's what we call, I guess, a roadblock to getting time with the ones, right?
That would be, let's just say my first spring, Rich, I didn't get very many reps with the ones in New England.
Well, and again, that's not an indication whether you like somebody or you're disappointed in somebody. I mean, there is a plan that you have to put into place. And in terms of that, like what does one do when one gets somebody like JJ McCarthy at his age, but with a ton of experience and somebody used to winning and used to owning a team, right? Like how does one go about getting that person's feet wet, comfortable enough for you to even consider having him as a starter in his first year?
Yeah, Rich, I think first and foremost, our jobs is to make sure we create the best possible learning environment every single day for JJ. And that's how we teach. That's how we install the offense. That's how we coach the individual aspects of the quarterback position, whether it's the run game, the pass game, reading coverage, technique, fundamentals. There really is a quarterback school that kind of takes place for our offense. And what I think is the best way to do it is to not completely forget everything that they've done up until this point. I mean, how many times can we apply principles that we saw on tape? We got to know JJ really well pre-draft. Hey, what are the areas where he's most comfortable? And then where are the areas where we want to make sure that he feels challenged on a daily basis? Because it's got to be the perfect combination of really challenging him, exposing him to some of the difficulties that will be out in front of him that he can then identify and go attack, while also making sure that we're maintaining the confidence in a player that has a lot of it, and rightly so. The guy's won at every level he's ever been at. He's coming off a national championship and playing the quarterback position at a high level. So it's a good balance of both, knowing that it still just is May and June as we work towards the end of this offseason program, and we're going to have a competitive training camp. But we do have a plan for JJ, a long-term plan. We see him as our quarterback of the future, and when that ultimately starts with him taking game reps under center, will really be about his process to getting there and demonstrating that he's got total comfort in the system. So then the natural learning environment that is playing quarterback in the NFL, we're not going to be able to control every aspect as control freaks, as coaches, as we are.
Yes.
And it's good to expose him to some things as he grows and develops, but we want to make sure it's the right time, and JJ's you know, feels 100% confident that he can not only go in and have success, but then also when adversity does hit, is he attacking it the right way from a foundation that hopefully we've built up over a good amount of time that he can feel confident to go in and attack this thing for 17 plus.
You also have a veteran sitting there, and not just any veteran. He doesn't have any gray in his beard. You know, he's from 2018's draft, third overall, looking for an opportunity to do, I guess, in a way, what Baker Mayfield did last year. And I'm wondering, what is your message to Sam Darnold with a kid like McCarthy sitting there? What do you say to Sam, Kevin?
Yeah, I think it started pre-draft. You know, just the communication with Sam of when we brought him in here, how confident and excited I am to coach a guy like Sam. Loved him coming out of the draft, and just acknowledging the quarterback journey that he's been on. And we all, as quarterbacks in this league, and I use that term loosely for myself, nice. But we all, you know, go on different quarterback journeys, and we learn different things at different times. And then you go from situation to situation where hopefully you find one that is conducive to you kind of putting all of that experience, even though he still is a young player, Rich, he has experienced quite a lot, different offenses, different situations, different teams that he's been on. And my challenge to Sam really was one of just come in here every day and focus on just getting a little bit better every day, a little bit more comfortable in the offense, understanding that we're going to put you in the best possible situation for you to just go play, throw completions, move the team, and try to generate some points. And our offense with the skill players around whoever's playing quarterback is set up to really just put the ball in play, make great decisions, and good things are going to happen without feeling like you got to put the weight of the world on your shoulders, snap in and snap out. And that's, you know, where Sam's really had a great spring. He's done that. He's demonstrated that. And I think he's starting to feel the rewards of that with the comfort and how he's playing with a little bit more consistency. And that's really going to be the name of the game, is how many times can we go out there and have our quarterback get us into the right play, do their jobs from a technique, fundamental standpoint, where we want their eyes progression wise. And then Sam is plenty talented to make every throw that we ask our quarterbacks to make in this offense. So excited to see him hit the ground running in training camp and you know, obviously be part of a competitive situation. But I think Sam is off to a great start here this spring, and expect him to do the same this fall.
So then, do you think, is it fair to say, Kevin, somebody from my position talking about this stuff every day, to say this is going to be given every opportunity for him to make this his team in 2024, go as far as he can take you, which is, who knows? It's obviously a very talented team, and he's got an opportunity here. And then it's up to him to make any decision about when it's McCarthy's time difficult for you. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think just knowing that Sam's been there, done that, he's been a starting quarterback for a lot of games in this league. He's coming off of a year where I do think he really grew in San Francisco last year, whether it was being around Kyle, Brian Griese, Brock Purdy in the quarterback room, watching a guy essentially with a really talented team around him go out and not only, you know, distribute the ball and, you know, make a lot of plays, but put the team on his back at times, understand when he had to, you know, make some plays with his legs, create, you know, some plays off schedule, make the plays that are there in rhythm, and good things are going to happen when you pair that with a balanced attack. And I think that was a real growth kind of learning year for Sam, and he's applying a lot of those things now in his opportunities. Look, we're going to have, like I said, a competitive camp where we give our guys an opportunity to, you know, both on the practice field and joint practice, and also in the games to really identify what that quarterback room is going to look like. But it is, you know, perfectly okay for guys to have individual improvement and development plans on different timelines in that quarterback room, because the most important thing is no matter who's in the game for us playing quarterback, we want them to be playing at a level that gives us a chance to win football games consistently. And we feel like we've put together a room not only with Sam and bringing in JJ, who we're really excited about, but having a veteran like Nick Mullins and another young guy in Jaren Hall that will all, you know, hopefully develop. And as we learned last year, we played four of them last year. So it's one of those situations where you got to do everything you can to pour into those guys and develop your quarterback room as a whole. There's not always equal reps for everybody. It's about the work that they do on their own, but also, you know, how we mentally prepare those guys every single day.
And in, you know, last one on your offense, Kevin O'Connell, you got a running back who looks like he's on the Favre plan, going from Green Bay and going to Minnesota to exact some revenge in division and then go as far as he can go in Aaron Jones, one of my favorites I've gotten to meet over the last few years. How jacked is he? What's going through his skull during these OTAs, Kevin?
Yeah, he's been awesome. You know, he's a guy from obviously playing in the division for a couple years against him, but even going back before these last 2 years, I've just always had such respect for how he plays the game. You can clearly see, you know, he earns on a minute-to-minute daily basis the leadership role that he's had, you know, obviously in Green Bay and being a part of a very successful team up there. And obviously when we get an opportunity to bring him here, Rich, it was something that I quite honestly, it's one of those things you don't think is going to really be possible. And then when it does happen and you know you're adding a player like that, a person like that to your team, you know, as a coach, you can't ask for anything more than that. Talented players with great skill sets that fit what you do, but also guys that are going to come in and uplift and make the whole outfit, the whole program better. That's what Aaron Jones is, and he's been like that from day one since arriving here, and he hasn't had to do anything other than just be who he's always been, which has been a great teammate, super talented guy that's going to have a lot of success in our system.
Yeah, I'm sure he's circling week four at Green Bay on your schedule. Last one for you, Coach O'Connell. The laboratory in your special teams room about this new kickoff rule.
I'm
fascinated by it. And my colleague Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk the other day saying people aren't talking about it enough. What is your sense of how this is going to look, play out, be meaningful? What are your thoughts, Kev?
Well, I think it's definitely going to accomplish the goal of getting the kick return back in the game, which is what the ultimate intent was, which I do agree with, and to do it in a way where we can maybe limit some potential, you know, pitfalls injury wise that existed previously in the kickoff return phase. But I can tell you, Rich, the, you know, throughout the spring when we line that thing up and you see, you know, all those players standing there 5 yards apart, and it definitely is going to be different. It's going to be different to the fans' eye from the first time they see it to kick off the 2024 season. And then I think throughout the year, just watching the different schematics, teams deploy different personnel, you know, we're all kind of learning a little bit, trying to figure out schematically how you want to handle it in each individual team, most likely. And I think it is going to be different based upon the returner skill set, based upon the type of kicker you're playing, what type of kick variations can you have when you're, you know, sending your coverage unit down there to try to put stress you know, on that return unit, landing that ball in the landing zone in different spots and different trajectories and all those things. And I think you are still going to see some teams that will choose just to, you know, take the 30-yard line and try to boom it through just out of the sheer fact of the unknown, especially early on. But I think over the course of the season, we're going to see some high impact plays on, you know, that really contribute to teams winning and losing based upon, you know, the fact that it's going to be a significant play back in the game. And nonetheless, even just if it's just a field position play, a quality return out of that thing, giving you a shorter field, changes the whole kind of narrative of not only that drive, but then the field position that works off of it throughout the rest of that particular aspect of the game. So I think it's going to be exciting. I think there's a lot of unknowns even for us right now as we kind of navigate it. And I think that's okay. That's our jobs as coaches to try to assess how we can most effectively use our personnel, put together schemes that will hopefully give us a chance to generate some explosive returns and you know, see if we can make it a real positive play, both with how we return it, but then also making sure we limit the explosive returns against us and allow our defense to play with a lot of grass behind them.
Do you consider having somebody who's a good tackler learn how to kick off? Like, seriously, like, do you go to your defender saying, who can kick? Do you do that?
I think I know there's, you know, some teams out there that might have the personnel, you know, on their team already to maybe give that a try. But there's definitely knowing that that ball might get to that kicker maybe, you know, a few more times this season. It's definitely worth the conversation. I don't particularly know if we've had the open tryout yet. I think it's definitely going to be worthy of a conversation as you go, because you know, every advantage in something new like this will matter, and it could be one play here or there that determines your whole season. We've seen it, you know, even in 2 years as the head coach here, going into my third year, I've already seen it take place in different phases, you know, of a game. But you just never know when that one or two plays will have a huge impact on what you ultimately end up being as a team for that season.
Yeah, I imagine one of your returners has got to be one of your fastest guys too, right? I would imagine one that can find that hole and just hit it, increase it, and then you're out the gate.
Yeah, everything's going to happen fast. I think it's going to be a combination of, you know, speed to hit, you know, whatever crease gets formed in the return. But I think just the differences in the blocking schemes, you know, I think it could resemble different aspects of offensive run plays with different types of schemes, you know, pulling people, gap schemes, trying to basically, you know, develop angles and leverages however you can based upon everybody having the same starting point in the confines of the rules. I think you're going to see different people put some different skill sets out there, maybe bigger bodies, maybe, you know, more blocking types that don't have to worry anymore about the distance of covering or the distance of that return unit, you know, having to cover so much ground anymore. So I think you can play around with different body types and really try to figure out what works for your individual roster to maximize the play. And I, like I said, I think it's going to be exciting, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how our guys kind of handle that phase. And as always, there's no greater time for an offensive or defensive minded head coach in the kicking game. It's so important than people realize, just not just the kickoff return, but the punt and punt return phase, those hidden yardages in a game, hidden points in games that you don't always remember the day after, but you look back on and know the critical factors that played into the game. This is definitely going to be one of them. It's new. It's different. It's exciting. I think it's going to be great for our game.
Kevin O'Connell, you are the man. Thank you for the 20 minutes at the final OTAs of your summer. And then we'll chat again real soon, Kevin.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks again. That's Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, let's take a break right here on our program. The conversation about who's on the women's roster for Olympic basketball and not clearly was the story of the weekend. We'll set up Christine Brennan's second hour appearance when we come back. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Man, the Hoops Finals are right around the corner. How cool would it be to go to one of those games? You might even be thinking that right now. And if you are, I've got the solution for you. Game Time makes getting finals tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to tip-off. You get killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, meaning no surprises on the final cost. Views from your seat, which means no surprises on your view of the court. The lowest price guarantees also there from Game Time, which takes the guesswork completely out of buying basketball tickets, certainly when it's the biggest event around for hoops, the finals. Take the guesswork straight out. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account and redeem my code RICH, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you could find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started. What is your best sports memorabilia that you have, that you're most proud of, or something that you love?
Oh, it's I've got a bunch of things that I love, but the one that I would have to say is the coolest, simply because it's not, because I was a baseball player, so baseball stuff means a lot to me. One year, a girlfriend of mine said, if you could have anything for Christmas this year, what would it be? Mm-hmm. And I said, an autographed baseball glove from Brooks Robinson. Because Brooks was from Arkansas. He grew up in Little Rock, North Little Rock. And I just loved him, you know, when he played with the Orioles. And so I thought, that's never going to happen. But if I could have anything, that's what it would be. And she chased him down. She got all the publicists and everybody else on the case. And Christmas morning, I opened it up, and there was an autographed book, Brooks Robinson glove, and it said... and of course, you know, the glove from him, that's the thing, because sure. It was fielding, you know, and it said, from a huge fan, Brooks Robinson. I'm like, Brooks Robinson knows who I am. I'm done. This is all fine.
Did you ever put on the Brooks Robinson glove? Like literally put your hand in?
Oh, I put it on, but boy, do I protect it. I finally put it in plexiglass because it's, you know, the name might rub off, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to do
it.
But
boy, that's a real dandy thing. McGuire also gave me a bat right after he broke it, you know.
Right after he broke the Maris?
No, after he broke his bat. Oh, he grounded out to third. But
no, you should say it was home run number 67, home run 62.
But it was that year.
Okay.
It was that year, and he grounded out to third against the Dodgers, and he gave me the bat and his batting glove, which had dirt all over it and everything, so I've got that. And I got some good stuff over the years.
Great Billy Bob Thornton on our YouTube channel. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. All right, story of the weekend. Caitlin Clark left off of the U.S. women's national team for the Olympics in Paris. And that set things on fire over the weekend because it involves Caitlin Clark. And everything involving her suddenly is a national conversation where you're right or you're wrong or there's no gray area. And I'll just sum it up here. Here it is. If the U.S. women's national team and its roster building and the team going to the Olympics is about marketing the sport, it is about making sure the sport is as popular as ever, and the WNBA is an important part of that. If it's a marketing and promotional campaign, then leaving Caitlin Clark off is clearly an abject failure. If it is about building the best team, you have an argument here, and I can assure you, most of those in positions like mine are, me included, new to paying deep attention to the WNBA and the women's basketball scene. I am not going to sit here and say Caitlin Clark deserves this spot over this player that made it. Because, wait for it, I don't know. Her numbers as a rookie are, in the WNBA, something to take note of. Whether you think it's not as good as what somebody who just broke Pistol Pete's record in college should be, or it's not as good as and it doesn't merit the attention that she's gotten, make that case. I'm not going to sit here and say this player shouldn't have been on because of her, basketball-wise. A lot of people are looking at Diana Taurasi because she's already got 5 gold medals. And how, at age 42, how many yachts can she water ski behind? How about the idea that maybe she wants one last run at Paris, and because of all of her years of work, she deserves it? Am I wrong? How about that idea?
You are not wrong.
So what does Caitlin Clark have to say about all this? Once again, she takes the complete high road on this front. Hit it.
Caitlin, what was your reaction when you saw the USA team yesterday, the roster come out?
Yeah, I think I'm excited for the girls that are on the team. I know it's the most competitive team in the world, and I know it could have gone either way of me being on the team and not being on the team. So, I'm excited for them. I'm going to be rooting them on to win gold. I was a kid that grew up watching the Olympics, so... It'll be fun to watch them.
What was your level of disappointment not hearing your name on the roster?
Honestly, no disappointment. Like, I think it just gives you something to work for. It's a dream. Hopefully one day I can be there. And I think it's just a little more motivation. You remember that. And, hopefully in 4 years, when 4 years comes back around, I can be there.
Did you have a direct conversation with managing director or whomever's over there at USAB recently?
Yeah, they called me and let me know before everything came out, which was, really respectful of them, and I appreciated that. And they did the same for every girl that made the team or every girl that didn't make the team. There's a lot of players in the Olympic pool, so it wasn't like I was the only one they had to call. They had to make quite a few calls.
Obviously, she's going to make future teams and be dynamite at it and bite down on a gold medal. Maybe Los Angeles will be the next opportunity for her. Not maybe, it's going to be. And so that's what she said about this. Christy Sides, the head coach of the Indiana Fever, had this to say.
A little disappointed, of course. She's my player. That's the hardest team in the world to make, right? Like, that is a tough team. She's young. She's going to have so many opportunities in the future.
How did you coach her up through that, or did you talk to her at all through that to make it more of a motivating factor than anything?
Yeah, we talked actually on the bus. She got the call on the bus, and she texted me to let me know. And, I just tried to keep her spirits. The thing she said was, "Hey, coach, they woke a monster," which I thought was awesome.
Is there any silver lining and, she'll get a little bit of rest, she'll be able to work on some things in that 3-week break?
Yeah, I think that is the silver lining. Like, she is going to get some rest.
So, head coach Sides saying that the player said she woke up a monster. Publicly, she didn't. The latest example of Caitlin Clark being in the middle of something that she didn't create, other than by her play and her popularity and her remarkable ability to capture the fancy of so many people who ordinarily have not been paying attention. So if she had been chosen, you know what the conversation would have been today? She didn't deserve it.
Yeah, probably.
She can't win for losing. She cannot win for losing. And the argument, well, Christian Laettner was on the dream team. The reason why Christian Laettner was on the dream team is because at the time, it was only amateurs until the NBA, I imagine, forced the issue, U.S. basketball forced the issue of putting paid players out there and the best in the world out there. And the price of admission for that was you had to take at least one amateur. And that was Christian Laettner. So if this was the same construct, Caitlin Clark would have been on the team. But it's not. So can we just sit here and say Caitlin Clark will be in future ones and the ones who are going are deserving of it when you're just talking about basketball? But if you're talking about marketing, then she should have been on the team. End of story. But other than that, it's up for a conversation.
Both things should be factored in, right?
But I mean, one thing over the other.
But it's kind of a foregone conclusion they're going to win the gold medal, right?
Well, that's and the ratings will be through the roof because they usually are when it involves the U.S. women's national team. I don't know. Caitlin Clark should use this 3 weeks as a break? She's been nonstop.
I got to imagine she's pretty mentally exhausted at this point.
I have no idea. She could be like, I could handle this. I want to go.
Yeah.
But she's not saying it publicly. If she's just like, hey, did you see the arena between the Fever and the Mystics? Did you see that, by the way, over the weekend?
I did.
Okay. 20,000 people?
Yep, I saw it.
Okay. And by the way, she nailed seven threes, 30 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and 4 steals. I was part of the sellout crowd here in Los Angeles. She didn't have that night. So she provided that. By the way, I should also mention, just because I'll cape a little bit here, that's double the audience, the crowd that the Chicago Sky brought into that arena. And
what are you caping for there?
I'm just what am I caping for? That okay. Caitlin Clark is all that and is worthy of the attention being paid and is worthy of the praise coming her way for that. You want to talk about that? She's not bringing it on herself. She's bringing people to the arena. But does she deserve to be on the women's roster basketball wise? That is up for debate. Christine Brennan will help us debate it.
Every story eventually comes to an end. This June, hear the final episode of season 2 of the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, Durham. In the Red Clay tells the unbelievable true story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history. In the podcast that people are calling riveting, incredibly moving, captivating, and addicting. Binge seasons 1 and 2 of In the Red Clay now, wherever you listen.